rush into the operating room. Stretcher flying, nurses racing to get the surgical equipment set up. The anesthesiologists skipping their detailed review of the medical records. But this was not a bad injury. They had time, they determined. He lay waiting on his stretcher in the stucco-walled trauma bay while the OR was readied. Then a nurse noticed he'd stopped babbling. His heart rate had skyrocketed. His eyes were rolling back in his head. He didn't respond when she shook him. She called for help, and the members of the trauma team swarmed back into the room. His blood pressure was barely detectable. They stuck a tube down his airway and pushed air into his lungs, poured fluid and emergency release blood into him. Still, they couldn't get his pressure up. So now they were crashing into the operating room, stretcher flying, nurses racing to get the surgical equipment set up, the anesthesiologist skipping their review of the records, a resident splashing a whole bottle of betadine antiseptic onto his belly, John grabbing a fat number 10 blade and slicing down through the skin of the man's abdomen in one clean, determined swipe from ribcage to pubis. Cautery. He drew the electrified metal tip of the cautery pen along the fat underneath the skin, parting it in a line from top to bottom, then through the fibrous white sheath of fascia between the abdominal muscles. He pierced his way into the abdominal cavity itself, and suddenly an ocean of blood burst out of the patient. Crap! The blood was everywhere. The assailant's knife had gone more than a foot through the man's skin, through the fat, through the muscle, past the intestine, along the left of his spinal column, and right into the aorta, the main artery from the heart. Which was crazy, John said. Another surgeon joined to help and got a fist down on the aorta, above the puncture point. That stopped the worst of the bleeding, and they began to get control of the situation. John's colleague said he hadn't seen an injury like it since Vietnam. The description was pretty close, it turned out. The other guy at the costume party, John later learned, was dressed as a soldier, with a bayonet. The patient was touch and go for a couple days, but he pulled through. John still shakes his head ruefully when he talks about the case. There are 1,000 things that can go wrong when you've got a patient with a stab wound. But everyone involved got almost every step right. The head-to-toe examination, the careful tracking of the patient's blood pressure and pulse and rate of breathing, the monitoring of his consciousness, the fluids run in by IV, the call to the blood bank to have blood ready, the placement of a urinary catheter to make sure his urine was running clear. Everything. Except no one remembered to ask the patient or the emergency medical technicians what the weapon was. Your mind doesn't think of a bayonet in San Francisco, John could only say. He told me about another patient who was undergoing an operation to remove a cancer of his stomach when his heart suddenly stopped. Identifying details were changed at John's request. John remembered looking up at the cardiac monitor and saying to the anesthesiologist, "Hey, is that asystole?" Asystole is total cessation of heart function. It looks like a flat line on the monitor, as if the monitor is not even hooked up to the patient. The anesthesiologist said, "A lead must have fallen off, because it seemed impossible to believe that the patient's heart had stopped." The man was in his late 40s and had been perfectly healthy. The tumor was found almost by chance. He had gone to see his physician about something else, a cough perhaps, and mentioned he'd been having some heartburn too. Well, not heartburn exactly. He felt like food sometimes got stuck in his esophagus and wouldn't go down, and that gave him heartburn. The doctor ordered an imaging test that required him to swallow a milky barium drink while standing in front of an X-ray machine. And there on the images it was, a fleshy, mouse-sized mass near the top of the stomach, intermittently pressing up against the entrance like a stopper. It had been caught early. There were no signs of spread. The only known cure was surgery. In this case, a total gastrectomy, meaning removal of his entire stomach, a major 4-hour undertaking. The team members were halfway through the procedure. The cancer was out. There'd been no problems whatsoever. They were getting ready to reconstruct the patient's digestive tract when the monitor went flat.